Very good day to you. Welcome to the program, James Wales Radio Show Online. It's the podcast they're all talking about. And of course, produced and brought to you by
Rob from Dead Air Podcast.
Rob from Dead Air Podcast. Yes, the most exciting man in the country who produces the program with every inch of his being. And today we're coming to you from Birmingham because I've been working in Birmingham all week. So we decided we'd have a little away day in Birmingham. And Rob's come here. He's enjoyed it. You've enjoyed the canals.
I have. It's nice.
Yes.
I could move here, I think.
Could you?
Yeah.
Yes, you could live on a little narrow boat, couldn't you?
That sounds nice. Yeah.
Now, are you warm enough?
I am baking in here.
Are you?
This is a. Well, you said I smelt earlier.
You do a bit, but I don't want to. I don't want to say too much. Listen, later we're going to talk to a couple. You're probably too young, but I remember Morecambe and Wise like it was yesterday. The Morecambe and Wise show, the Morecambe and Wise Christmas spectacular, amazing. Do you know? I think they'll even be popular today. So later on in the program, there is now a Morecambe and Wise tribute band. Tribute act. Thank you. And we'll be talking to them later on in the programme. But as I said before, were you warm enough in the studio, Robbo? And actually, it does smell just slightly in here, actually. I don't know why. But the reason I ask this is, of course, that the government, the Energy Secretary, Ed Davey, is announcing details of a proposed review. how long that's going to take, I have no idea. But the problems are massive. The cost of our energy is soaring. It's gone up 11% in the last few weeks, and the chances are it is going to go up again. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm concerned about this now. There is the really great likelihood that some people will not be able to heat their homes. There is a possibility that the lights will go out unless this is addressed. And it's no good having a review, as far as I can see. What we need is a little bit of action. And I've spoken to a number of politicians about this on my programmes around the country. And I'm not really hearing anybody is doing anything. Now, apparently the government is going to try and control the Big Six. How they're going to do that, I have no idea. The Labour Party have said if they get into power, they'll freeze the bills, but I'm not really sure how they're going to do that. They'll have to pass legislation to do that. That's going to take an age. And in the meantime, the weather is getting colder, except in the studio where Rob is beginning to, well, he's glowing. I mean, it would be rude to say you're sweating, but beginning to glow.
I think we should all move in here.
Yeah, well, it's warm in here, that's for sure. So I don't know about you, but I'm looking for anybody over the next week or so. Tweet me, email me, go on our Facebook page. Let me know how we can bring down the cost of heating and lighting our homes. I think it is appalling. It is just not on. At all? What?
I'm just thinking I should switch.
What for?
Well, I haven't switched in years.
Have you ever looked at how you switch? Have you ever spoken to one of these people who come on the phone and try and tell you that I can get you cheaper electricity? Oh, yeah? Well, how can you do that? Well, you pay me a fee and then I find the cheapest electricity for you. Well, blow me down. Why the hell should you have to do that? And have you ever looked at their tariffs? They are so confusing. You know, do you want to be on this tariff or that tariff? What type of day do you want to have the heating on? When don't you want to have the heating on? Are you living on your own? Are you living with somebody else? How many children do you have? Do you have dogs, cats, pets, gerbils?
Rabbit.
Rabbit, yes, any of this. It could all affect the tariff you're on. I think it's bizarre. I really think it's bizarre. And I think what we're doing as well, we're A, playing politics with something as basic for everybody as keeping warm in the cold weather and lighting our homes. And, of course, there's big business behind it, the profit motive. And the Big Six are blaming the government. The government are blaming the companies. And I, quite frankly, don't care whose fault it is as long as they do something. Now, one of the things they could do, and I would like to see them doing, is getting rid of the green taxes for a while. Now, OK, I know it'll upset all those of you who believe the world will end if we drive our motor cars, fly our aeroplanes, just hit my knee on the desk, sorry. But I don't actually think that's going to happen. And I know lots of you are big fans of the wind turbines. Now, I like the look of them. I like the look of them. I don't mind them at all. They look nice. I think they're quite imposing, a bit like the pyramids.
Hmm.
Yeah. But I don't think they do any good at all. I think they're paying lip service to it. I was talking to a chap the other day, and he said, yes, well, you know, they're very good and low carbon. And I pressed him and I said, well, how useful will they be in the future? Well, you know, they'll... well, how much electricity can they generate? Well, they only generate electricity, of course, when it's windy.
That's yeah. true.
And if it's too windy, then they have a little motor on that has to slow down the blades. So it seems to me to be a total waste of time. But you might be able to convince me differently. I'm still not convinced, of course, that we are going to be able to change the climate or affect the climate and stop it doing what the climate will do. But that's a whole different argument. Do people realise how long, sorry, I was getting cross, how long it's going to take to actually bring the energy companies into line to get some nuclear-powered stations going? We are going to be subservient to other countries for 10, 20 years before we can get back in charge of our own fuel. I mean, I don't like the idea of fracking. I don't know why, I suppose, like everybody else, because they say, well, it could damage the Earth's crust and we could have earthquakes and things like that. But let's find out what actually is going to happen, because apparently in this country we're sitting on millions in the way of gas coming from France. So I think, you know, perhaps Ed Davey, the energy secretary, could just move a little faster, because there are going to be a lot of us this winter who, when we are suddenly presented with huge bills and we're not getting any more money, are going to find it very difficult. So I'd be interested to know what you think, and get in touch, let me know. James Webb, yeah, James Webb, most famous man in the whole world ever, James Webb. Robbo, have we got some people in touch from last week's programme? We have, haven't we?
We've had loads of people on our Facebook responding to the questions we put out.
Well, the questions we put out, Robbo, were...
You're asking me?
Yeah, well, come on, Rob, you're the producer. Well, feed me a few lines,
the
come
questions
on.
Were, should our police force wear security cameras?
Yeah, it's a good story. Last week we talked about it. I think it's a great idea. I don't have any problem with the cops wearing cameras. In fact, I think they should be camered up. I think they should be mic'd up. And every time you speak to a policeman, it's all recorded. What do people think?
A lot of people will say, yes, it's a good idea.
Intelligent. Very intelligent.
Yeah, a very few people say no. The majority are saying yes.
Okay. So if you want to be on the programme, you want to have sort of your thoughts, you can, as I said before, email the programme, go to the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. You can Facebook us.
Yeah, facebook.com/jameswhaleradio.
Thank you. And you could tweet me at the James Whale as well. Now, do you like jam on your toast? Do you like jam?
I like jam.
I like jam. I like jam. I'm a bit more of a honey than a jammy.
I thought you were a Marmite man.
I like Marmite as well, but you've got to have sweet. True. Yin and yang.
I don't like the bits in jam.
I don't mind the bits in jam. I don't mind the bits in Marmite. I mean, in Marmite. Well, that's when you put the knife back in with lumps of butter on, you get bits in it. I don't mind the bits in Marmalade, though. I quite like that. But here's something for those of you who get upset with the EU rules. Cutting the amount of sugar in jam could bring an end to the traditional British breakfast, an MP warned yesterday. British jam has to be 60% sugar, but the new regulations from Brussels will mean manufacturers will be able to label their fruit spreads jam if they are only 50%. The government says it will boost the economy. However, Lib Dem MP Tessa Munt, I must be careful with that name, spelt M-U-N-T, Munt.
Munt.
I never heard of her, but obviously she's trying to get herself into the news. She's argued it'll result in runnier spreads, which have a shorter shelf life.
Oh dear.
I don't know if Miss Munt is your MP. If Miss Munt is your MP, tell her you think she should have more important things on her mind than the amount of sugar in jam. Less sugar probably is going to be good for the health of the nation, if not the world. But Miss Munt is very upset. Miss Munt said, "I'm concerned that this debate will herald what will turn out to be the end of the traditional British breakfast." You silly woman. Of course it won't. Oh. You know, 10% less sugar in jam will be good for all of us. Environment Minister George Eustace said the reduction in the minimum sugar levels to 50% delivers the greatest flexibility to the industry in a way that I do not think will be detrimental. George Eustace is speaking sense. But this Miss Munt, Lib Dem MP Tessa Munt, There's a word to conjure with. Munt.
I'm not even going to try.
No. Munt. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, dangerous dogs. I want to talk about dangerous dogs a bit on the programme. Before we do that, should we have a bit of music?
Yeah, why not?
Have you got a bit of music to play?
We have a bit of music.
What would you like to play?
What about playing some of your friends' music?
Lee John. Well, the reason I'm in Birmingham, of course, doing some work with the BBC this week, and also introducing my friend Lee John. You remember Imagination, okay? And all that. He was playing at a great little club in Birmingham, and it's called the Jam House. Went to see him the other night, introduced him on stage, and he has not lost it. He's not lost it at all. In fact, you can probably see somewhere on here a picture of me and him together, me wearing his face mask.
I'll put that
which
up.
I thought, yep. You could put that up, can't yep. you? So you'll be able to look at that. In the meantime, here, have a bit of Lee John and Imagination.
It's just an illusion.
Now, I don't know about you, but I remember those days, as I said earlier in the programme, when, of course, you used to sort of gather around the TV screens to see Morecambe and Wise. I know some of you don't even remember it, but honestly, trust me, it's very funny. Funnier than some of the stuff you get today. Probably worked quite well today. Eric and Ernie were there for most of my young life, and it's a bit of a tragedy. But now they're being brought back to life by what I called earlier an Eric and Ernie tribute band, well, a tribute act, I suppose. Jonty Stevens and Ian Ashbeetel. I don't know what my producer's written down here, but it looks really quite disgusting. Anyway, Jonty and Ian, welcome to the programme. Jonty, you play Eric. Ian, you play Ernie.
Yes.
I haven't seen your act. I mean, I've seen a bit of a video of it, and it looks quite good, but I'd like to see the whole act. How did it start?
Jonty and I met at drama school just 30 years ago, and Jonty's always done impressions, Eric Morecambe and various other people, and I literally just happened to have short hair and legs. So I was selected to do a little sketch for our mates at the golf club, which we did about 10 years ago, and then we resurrected it last year. And this time the guy said, look, you must do something with it. It's spooky how similar you look and how you sound. So we wrote a play and took it up to Edinburgh, and here we are.
So you're actually performing a play in Southend, are you?
Yes, we're doing a little tour before we go to the West End on the 19th of November. So we're doing a show tonight, yes, at the Palace Theatre, Southend.
So where are you going in the West End?
We're going to the Vaudeville Theatre.
Yeah.
We opened on the 19th of November at the Strand, the Vaudeville Theatre on the Strand.
Now, is this a play, or are you going to do a sort of Eric and Ernie act?
It's a play, James. The first part is the play part. It's a narrative, what we call the narrative, and it's set in the hospital. It's the last hour of Ernie's life, which doesn't sound like there's too many laughs, but it's interspersed with biographical stuff and sketches that they did. And then in the second half, we sort of come on and do their stand-up.
Have you had any feedback from Eric and Ernie's wives or friends, family?
We have, actually. Gary came to see us in Edinburgh and loved it. It was very complimentary. And said at one point he thought he was watching the boys himself. So, so crazy indeed, really.
Can you give us all a bit of a benefit of Eric and Ernie? Can you do a bit or not?
Do a bit of Eric and Ernie?
Yeah, yes, the two of you, just yeah. Do one of the, I mean, do you do some of their really well known bits, or have you adapted it to modern day?
We do some of their classic material, and we've mixed it up a bit. But this is one of their famous sketches that they're just about. Eric wants to get into the bed. And he wants Ernie's side of the bed, but Ernie won't let him give him the side of the bed.
You couldn't do that today with two blokes, really. It would be completely the wrong connotations.
Nobody bats an eyelid. Apparently the boys didn't want to do it. Eric didn't want to do it because he didn't like it. So he didn't like getting to bed with another man. But Eddie Braben said, I'll give you a pipe to smoke in bed. So he said, okay, I'll do it. It all comes back from Laurel and Hardy. That's where it all comes from.
Everybody ended up in bed in sitcoms, if you remember, in the 70s.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, go on then, guys. Take it away.
Okay, here we go. So, Eric's trying to get into bed.
Ern, would you do me a favour? Would I ask you a favour?
No, there's no harm in asking.
Grab your side of the bed.
Certainly not.
Look, that drop comes in from that window over there.
No. Eric gets into the bed.
I'm in.
You'll have side to give in the morning.
I won't. I'll have shredded weed like everybody else.
You always do that, get to bed with your dressing going on.
It's a nasty habit, I know. There are worse.
Oh, dear. I tell you, listen, I'm putting you on the spot, guys. It's difficult over the phone, but that sounds really good.
I'm going to pass you to Jonty for the rest of the interview. Hang on.
Yeah, go on. All right. So, this is, you're hoping then this will take off as a new business, really?
Well, I don't know. What we hope is that we represent Eric and Ernie, the boys, in the best possible way, and we can bring that to people who know them and also to a younger audience who don't, because we've had a lot of young people who didn't know anything about Morecambe and Wise who have loved it as well. So that's quite exciting for us.
The thing
to
about
bring that to a new audience.
The thing about Morecambe and Wise, and I interviewed in my time, my very long time, I interviewed both Eric and Ernie. And the thing about them was the timing. And yes. Their timing was amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's born out of the fact that they were with each other from the age of 13 up until Eric's untimely death in 1984, yeah. Which is 30 years next year, unbelievably.
They were like an old platonic married couple.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what the play... we look at their relationship and try and sort of think, well, why did they remain together? Why were they so successful? And I think it is like a marriage.
I think when Ernie brought out his autobiography, I remember interviewing him, and he said, you know, we loved him. This was after Eric died.
Yeah.
He said, but we didn't hang around together. We didn't sort of socialise that much. He said, we had enough of working together. We didn't hardly ever see each other when we weren't working.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think, you know, that's true. They said, you know, Ernie, and I heard Ernie interview Dan Eric saying, well, you know, we're together from 8:30 in the morning till 5 o'clock in the evening every day when we're doing shows. Why would we want to go out with each other in the evening?
Now, listen, if we go to, I think, talentgb.com, can we see a video of you there?
Yes, there is a video. There's a link, I think. I think it's just gone up on YouTube, actually. There's two on YouTube. There's one that's attached to the Chortle website.
Mm.
And I think there's one that's Eric and Little Urn, and that's literally just gone up now on YouTube, I think.
OK, well, we'll go and look at those, and maybe we can put one of those, of course, on our website when,
that'd be brilliant.
When the James Whale Radio Show goes
on. You know, we're taking on the greatest comedy duo that was ever around in this country, so we hope that we do them justice. I mean, people have been very kind so far. People get very emotional after the show. They sort of come, you know, some people are sort of in tears at the end of it, which is a shame, really, because it's supposed to be a comedy. But never mind. But but they do, because it takes them back to a time, like you were saying, where we all used to finish our Christmas dinners and wolf it down and get in front of the telly and watch Morecambe and Wise Christmas special or watch their show. You know, it was very much a thing to be done with the whole family. Your dad or your granddad, you know.
And they would always have a celebrity on that they sort of ridiculed in the nicest possible way.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
people
queued up to be on that show to be ridiculed and were very miffed if they weren't asked, I think.
Yeah. Well, maybe there we are. You could start inviting the odd celebrity to come on to yours.
Well, let's wait and see.
All right. Give me the dates again when we can see you in London.
Yeah, we open at the Vaudeville on the 19th of November. We're there until the 12th of January at the moment, with a possible extension if we get people to watch it and they enjoy it. And so, fingers crossed that we can fill the theatres, which is, you know, the key, obviously.
I'm sure you will. Look, Jonty and Ian, thank you both very much indeed. The new Eric and Ernie.
Pleasure to speak to you. I used to listen to you all the time. I've spent many a night with you in my car on TalkSport. Jonty's saying goodbye, and Ian's going to say goodbye now. Cheers,
okay,
mate.
Bye, Jonty.
Cheers, James. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks, Ian, very much indeed.
Take
you
care.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Okay, bye. You can see them on the 19th of November at the Vaudeville Theatre in London. You can go, as I said before, to talentgb.com, of course, where you can find this programme, but then you probably know that because you're listening anyway. But we can put we can find the video, can't we?
We'll put the video up or the link up wherever.
Yeah, we'll do that. Now, shall we continue, eh? James Whale! James Whale! James Whale Radio Show! So there we are, Eric and Ernie, or the reincarnation thereof. We're going to talk about dangerous dogs, weren't we? And I put that up on Facebook and asked what you thought. We were inundated with your thoughts. Let me share some of them with you, actually. Usha Patricia Patel says, dogs should be muzzled for other reasons apart from attacking. They are friendly. They come up to children and they lick their faces. Your dogs are picking up all sorts. Point. Janie Britton says, you know, when I was a kid, I used to have my dog sleeping on my bed. So what? They lick my face. That's what soap and water was for. Maria Moth on Facebook says, friends. Oh, she's friends. Good. I'm glad to have you as a friend. Kerry Swan says, let's have them rip our children's faces off. Sod it, because we're too soft. What a strange thing to say. Blimey. Now, this all comes from a caller on a show I was doing, I think, for BBC WM. Where somebody said, I think all dogs should be muzzled when they go out on the streets. Every dog should be muzzled. As you know, the government have just brought out a new law, they're bringing out a new law, and if your dog kills somebody, you could face a 14-year prison sentence. It's a very hot topic at the moment. I love dogs. I'm sorry. I just love dogs. I've got three dogs. I think I just love them. I don't really want to see every single dog in this country going out with a muzzle. And I can understand people who are worried about their children and dogs, and I think that is something that is concerned. And I know some people are worried about the germs and dogs. But there are two things here. First of all, the owners of dogs have got to be more responsible. People, if you have a dog, have got to have that dog trained and under control. And if you don't, you shouldn't have a dog. You shouldn't let your dog go up to somebody else in the street. That person may be frightened of dogs. That person may not know how to deal with dogs. You shouldn't let your dog go up to children. And I'm sick and tired of hearing people all the time say, "Oh, my dog wouldn't do anything. My dog's lovely. My dog's sweet. My dog would never hurt a fly." You can't be sure. You cannot be sure. Nobody knows. So when your dog's with you in public, you must have it under control. I don't want to see every dog muzzled, but I think owners have got to take more responsibility. And how we do that, I don't know. I don't think everybody is suitable to have a dog. Gosh, I don't think a lot of us are probably suitable to have children. But, you know, we learn to bring them up. Well, most of us learn to bring them up properly, and we learn that they are a huge responsibility. And having a dog, particularly a dog, is a huge responsibility. I would hate to see it where we get to the stage where, some people just don't want to see dogs out. They don't want to see them on the street. Now, 20 or so years ago, it was not unusual to see dogs wandering around the streets on their own. Now, I'm happy to say you don't often see that. I can't remember the last time I saw a dog just wandering around on its own. People don't do that anymore. And more people are picking up their dog mess. You see people picking it up. You don't see it in the street so much. Somebody allows their dog to defecate in the street, you find they pick it up. Good. And that is as it should be. So maybe we're learning. Maybe dog owners are getting better, but we need to get even better. My thoughts on dangerous dogs, it's the dangerous owners that need to be dealt with. And some people just should not be allowed to have dogs. The sort of morons that you see walking down the street with a bulldog type. Now, I love bulldogs, and I think they're great, great all sorts of, whether they're Staffies or any other sort of bulldog. I think they're great. But it's the people who have some of them, not all, but some of them, who put them in these chunky harnesses with studs all over them, who walk around with baseball caps on back to front, because obviously they don't know what way the peak's supposed to be. I mean, those are the people that I worry about. And maybe, you know, maybe there should be a little more taking proactive action stopped by the police. Some bloke, and I know you'll tell me we shouldn't profile and the police shouldn't stop somebody just because of the way they look, but if somebody's walking down the street with a bulldog, pulling them on a lead, they can hardly control it, in a tracksuit, I know it's stereotype, and maybe they're all lovely people, and if they are, then the police or whoever stops them will know, but something has to be done. We cannot have people trying to turn dogs into weapons, as a number have. It has to be stopped. Any thoughts you have, you can get in touch. Get in touch on Facebook. Facebook is
facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadio.
Do you think I've gone over the top a bit on that? I mean, I do feel passionately about that, but do you think
You're a dog lover.
I am a dog lover.
Yeah. I think it's status dogs that's the problem. When you buy a dog for status.
Yeah. Like mine. I have handbag dogs. Mark Dewhurst says, no, most dogs are friendly. It's some of the owners who should be muzzled. A lot of people agree with that, actually. Jane Britton says, stop. A couple of you on Facebook having a go at each other. Just be nice. Be friendly. Be friendly. And get on with each other. Why the hell should you? Brian Casey says, thank you. I rest my case. a lot of people think dogs will turn. You know, you can have a dog for years and it's lovely, and then suddenly, certainly, it changes its mind. But that's because dogs are like us.
Mm.
You know, sometimes I might get on with Rob, and then one day I'm going to turn around and have a go because, you know, I might have been in a bad mood. You don't know. Your dog could have been in a bad mood.
That's why I've got the camera on.
Exactly, so you can see. That's interesting. You're playing a camera in the studio today. Just because we thought we would let you see it. Yeah. It's not you can't hear the programme through it, but you can see bits of it.
Yeah.
When you look at us on Facebook.
YouTube.
Yeah, get it right. Yeah, yeah. And so, of course, as you know, we come to you via audioboo talentgb.com. Oh, I've got to say, listen, we did the competition. We've got the winner of the competition.
Do you want to pick one?
Yeah. Okay, hang on. All right. The competition, by the way, was for a diamond condom, which I'll show to the camera at some point and you'll see it, I'm sure. But here it is. Do you know these are one condom, £10 each, not really to be used. Right in the tip, it has, and it shines like mad. I thought it was very small, but look how it sparkles. I could turn that into a little earring, couldn't
Some
I?
Some bling for your thing.
Some bling for your thing, yes. Okay, pick out a name.
Pick out a name.
And you get a copy of the autobiography.
Okay.
Now, right, put my hand into the myriad of entries. Remember, I asked you the question, what was the title of my autobiography? It was, of course, Robbo?
A Nighttime of Something or Other. You're
Rob, Rob! A Lifetime of Nighttime. It's all about my nighttime on the radio.
I haven't got the book.
Oh, well, I'll get
Maybe
you a copy.
Maybe I should
copy.
Have entered the competition.
You should have done. Adam Wilson, I did say they produce gay and straight condoms, diamond condoms. Adam Wilson says he's straight. He's straight. So we'll be sending that to you. £10 worth of condom. Not really to be used, Adam, by the way. Just as a talking point.
Yeah.
You can get it out and show people.
Yeah, and if you do use it, obviously take a photograph and send it in.
Yes. No, don't bother. Please don't bother with that, Adam Wilson. Well done. Right. Okay. I don't know what I want to talk about now. What were we talking about? I've forgotten completely. Oh, we're talking about dangerous dogs and whether or not they should be muzzled. I think it would be very sad to see all dogs muzzled. I see that the CIA, by the way, have been bugging the Pope's phone. I mean, they've bugged everybody else's phone. I can't imagine the sort of conversations you're going to get from the Pope, but I don't know. I think it'd be quite interesting to hear those, wouldn't it, really? I can't imagine. Who hasn't? This is the thing. Who hasn't been bugged by the Pope? Got so excited, knocked the microphone. Who hasn't been bugged by the CIA? Because if you think you're an important person, you find out that the CIA have not bugged you, you could be quite upset. You know, occasionally I do this show called Telling It Like It Is on The Voice of Russia. I often wonder now when I walk into The Voice of Russia whether I'm being followed.
Yeah, that's,
so I
you must
pretend.
Be on a list somewhere.
I mustn't. I must be on a list. I must be on a list. But so far, I haven't found out. We'll have to see.
Try going to America. That will find out if you're on the list.
No, it's a long way to go and find out if you're on a list. Please listen. If you're enjoying the show, tell your friends where you can find us. Last week we had a great. We got up to 67. In the YouTube chart, didn't we? iTunes chart. I can't keep up with this. Well, it's all over the place.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere. So you can you can download the program every week. We do a new one every week. And once we get ourselves a decent sponsor and more money coming in, maybe we can do two or three a week, as some people have asked as well. But if you could help us, actually, it would be quite nice to get up the charts again. I notice I beat my old mate Steve Wright. And although Steve is lovely, I love him, but we can beat him in the iTunes chart.
Higher than Chris Evans at one point.
Were we?
Yeah.
Were we? So how do we get up again? You just have to download it.
You just need to go to iTunes,
click
on the store and search for James Whale, and the James Whale Radio Show will be there. Subscribe. And then, just for a laugh, download everything. Even if you don't want to listen to it, just download it so we go up the charts.
Yeah. But I would listen to it if I were you, because there are pearls of wisdom. Pearls of wisdom coming your way here. I did also tell you, didn't I, to go and, while I'm talking about things to make money, to get hold of the audio version of The Butterfly Boy. I'm sure it'll be on Amazon. Download the version, the audio version of Butterfly Boy.
The book's no good, but the audio version's very good.
Yeah, the book's useless. The book's useless. But the audio version, you can get an audio version of my autobiography, which took me 4 days to read. And I sit there and read it into a microphone in 4 days. But as I said, we are, of course, a very crucial radio programme. And I want to bring you news of a man who... Barry Kirk. Anybody know Barry Kirk?
Never heard of him.
You've never heard of Barry Kirk. He's a fan of baked beans. So I myself like baked beans. I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but I like. Don't you like them? A little bit of toast, Marmite spread on the toast, and then baked beans on top. Well, Barry Kirk has even changed his name by deed poll to Captain Beanie. He paints himself orange. This is the wonderful thing about this country, isn't it? He's turned his council flat, which is also totally orange, into the Baked Bean Museum of Excellence.
Has he got plates of crusty baked beans scattered all around his flat?
I don't know. He said, it all started in 1986 when I spent 100 hours in a bath of beans for charity. Oh, my gosh. I now consider myself up there with other greats from Port Talbot, such as Richard Burton and Paul Potts. Now, I had my mum cremated in Port Talbot some years ago. It's very close to my heart. And the idea that Barry Kirk is sitting in a bath of baked beans near where I said goodbye to my mum is slightly poignant. But I was thinking, if you've got nothing on this week and you really want to do something, why don't you go for the world record sitting in a bath of baked beans?
What about baked beans with sausages?
I don't mind baked beans with sausages that you cook the sausages separately, you get nice sausages, but I'm not sure about the ones that come in the bean in the tin together. But knowing what you are about food, I imagine you'll probably quite enjoy that.
No, I don't like baked beans.
You don't like baked beans?
No.
Oh, I love
Unless
baked beans.
Unless they're really runny.
I love baked beans. I think that's about it, isn't it, really? I think we've probably done more than our fair share today. We don't want to bore the fans too much. Nope. We don't want to annoy everybody too much. I tell you, I quite liked you to give me some topics you'd like to talk about on the programme. And soon, very soon, we'll be able to invite you to call a number, and then you can come on the programme and we can talk on the programme, can't
right.
we?
We've got a new number.
Have we?
Yeah, we have.
What is it?
It's 0117-230-1771.
Hang on, you never told me about this.
Didn't I?
No, you didn't tell me you had an 011...
I thought over our expensive lunch that we just had,
yeah.
I mentioned that we had a new phone number for
no,
the show.
No, you didn't. I didn't know it was an expensive lunch either. Well, you paid, because I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I wanted to go into a well-known pizza restaurant.
Which one was that?
Pizza Express.
You can't say that.
Why?
Well, because other pizza outlets are available.
I wanted to get American Hot. And you kept saying, oh, no, let's go somewhere nice.
I don't like cheese.
Oh, don't be silly. Everybody likes cheese. How can you not like cheese? I love cheese. Right, give us the number.
0117-230-1771.
1771. Okay. 011-7230-1771.
Yeah.
Right. Now, if you ring that number...
Well, if you ring it right now, you probably won't get anywhere.
No, but if you ring that number after you've heard the programme, then you will be able to book a call, come on the show.
No.
No, what?
What will happen is we'll put a message out on Facebook saying, ring now,
yeah,
and then whoever gets through will get through.
Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
Oh, right! I didn't know that. Okay, so make a note of the number. We'll put it up on the screen.
Otherwise, people will be phoning that number 24 hours a day.
Don't do that.
I tell you what, I'll reroute the call to your house.
Yeah, don't do that. 0117-230-1771. You can call us there. Now, before we finish, we've got a Christmas song, haven't we?
We have got a Christmas song.
And we did need more music. I'm really... as I said, I was out with my friend Lee John the other night, and you can hear some music and you can see some pictures of what was going on. And he did a beautiful sort of tribute to Bob Marley, and I love reggae. He did Shoot It Up and a couple of other Bob Marley tracks. And there must be some new reggae bands out
there.
I have asked. What do you mean you've asked? What do you think I'm doing?
Well... I asked more than you.
Do you? Where did you ask?
I asked on Facebook.
Oh, right, OK. Well, so if you are or know somebody who is in a reggae band, I think there must be some new reggae musicians out there. Please send your music to us. You can send it to us via Facebook.
You can send it through Facebook, or you can get on your website, which is jameswhale.co.uk, and there's a contact us page there.
OK. jameswhale.co.uk. Get us there. But for Christmas, and Christmas is quite a long way away, why are we playing a Christmas song on today's show?
Because he asked us to.
All right, OK. What is it?
Give me a chance.
Oh, right, you can't remember. You've got to bring it up on your little computer thing. I thought you'd have it there.
You keep talking.
Yeah, because we're doing this sort of on the fly, if you like, at the moment. We popped into this place and said, have you got a room we could borrow for an hour? And we're against the clock. And we didn't tell them what we were doing in it. So we're a bit worried that somebody is going to come to the door any moment now and ask us if we could possibly leave. So whilst we get all the gear sorted away, and we'll talk again next week. Of course, this next week and next 3 weeks, you can hear me between 12 and 2 on BBC Radio Essex, where I'm filling in for Sadie Nine, who's having a couple of weeks away. So Radio Essex, BBC Radio Essex, between 12 and 2. Join me there every lunchtime. And, of course, you can download the James Whale Radio Show whenever you like, and go to iTunes and download it as much as you can, and it'll get us up the charts again. And if I talk much more, of course, I'm probably going to lose my voice. So the Christmas song is...
by Keith Trouble.
Keith Trouble?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
And it's Ho, Ho, Ho.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas with bells on.
And I haven't heard this. Are you sure this isn't going to ruin the whole programme?
This is the big Christmas hit of the year.
What's it called? That. Ho, ho, ho.
With bells on.
Ho, ho, ho. Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas with bells on.
That's the one.
Yeah, see you next week.
If there's one thing I hate about Christmas, it's all those horrible songs. Well, if you can't beat them, join them. Would everyone sing along? Here we go. Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas with bells on. I said, ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas with bells on. I'm feeling sprouts and washing up, a drinking beer and chunking up. A quick snog under the mistletoe.
Look out, here comes Nan.
Oh, God, blimey, oh no, here we go. Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas with bells on. I said, ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas with bells on. The turkey's in the oven. Forgot to turn it on. Usual rubbish on the TV.
Jingle, jingle, jingle.
That's why we're singing this song.
Jingle, 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 ding dong. Merry Christmas with bells on. A Merry Christmas with bells on. A Merry Christmas with bells on.
I said
ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas with bells on.
It's party time. Let's have some fun. Will everybody sing along? Stuff the turkey with a cracker. Oh, go blimey, oh no, here we go. Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas with bells on. I said ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas. But last Christmas, spent it on my own. All I got was polka dot white fronts and a cover for me mobile phone
from the pound shop.
Jingle ding dong, Merry Christmas, the bells on. A Merry Christmas, the bells on. Merry Christmas, the bells on.
I said
ho, ho.
If you want to get your song played on the show, just get in touch with us via Facebook or send us an email and we'll sort that out for you. Take care. See you next week.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.